Amen. Well, we are so excited that you're here with us today. Again, as I mentioned already, and we are going to be doing something a little bit different in that we'll be talking about, as I mentioned, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Before I get into too much more of that, we do want to let you know that if you would like to follow along, we do have an outline available for you. You can go on our app, North Goodland BC, in your app store. You can go on to, there's some other information that you're going to find on there that will help you to be able to know how to better support maybe what God is doing global ministry that tells the stories of martyrs, those that have been suffering and dying for their faith in and through the church. And so there's a lot of resources available if you go on their website, and we'll give you more information about that in a little bit. But out in the lobby, we get the magazine from Voice of the Martyrs. And so if you do not get these or have not gotten these before, you can sign up to get these. They are super easy to get. They're free as far as I know. I don't think they're free. So you can just get these and we get them to the house. I know they're here. And so it's a great way to keep up on different things that are going on all over the world. And so out in the lobby, there's quite a few of these. And so you can kind of read up on that as well. If that would be a blessing to you, encourage you to do that. Also want to let you know a little bit more about what today is. So this morning, really what we're doing is partnering with the global body of Christ, that we are coming together in a time of prayer over these individuals and many more than what we're going to talk about this morning that are enduring difficult seasons of ministry. Side is a global prayer meeting on behalf of the world's most difficult and dangerous frontier mission fields. Now, we know that in this world today, it is difficult to be a follower of Christ. Amen? Okay, maybe some don't. I mean, to be a follower of Christ in our world today in general is difficult, is it not? We live in a fallen world that is naturally opposed to the things of God. And so there are many things in our world that lure us and tempt us away from the things of Christ. And so it's difficult as a follower of Christ to say, no, I'm going to set my mind on the things of Christ. I'm going to follow him and I'm not going to conform to the things of the world in my thinking. I'm not going to be driven and persuaded by the motivations of the world for pride and greed and lust and all those things. I want to set my mind on the things of Christ. And as we do that, praise God, he gives us grace where we fall. Amen. Praise God that he gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and his word to direct us. And as we walk in this world, it's difficult. But for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not just difficult to the degree that we've experienced in this country. It's difficult to the degree that it's literally life-threatening to just be a follower of Christ, just to proclaim the name of Christ. And so because of that fact, we desire to unite with them in prayer and support because we are all one body in Christ. I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 13, if you will. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read one verse to kind of set the tone for our service this morning. Hebrews 13. And if you're using one of the Bibles provided, if you don't have a copy of God's Word, either in print or on your device, in the seats around you, there are some Bibles. You're welcome to use those. And if you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 850. So if you're using one of the Bibles provided, page 850. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 3. So Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 3 with me. It says this, remember them that are in bonds, as being yourselves, our theme for this morning and our heart's desire. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Now, I know Pastor Greg prayed, but let's pray and ask God to affirm these things in our hearts and minds. Father, would you affirm your word in our hearts and minds this morning? And Father, we pray that we would apply by the working of your Spirit that verse, that we would remember this morning those that are in bonds as bound with them. Father, thank you for this time that we can gather. Thank you for this place that we can come together and be around your word and encourage one another in prayer. And Lord, thank you for the worship this morning. Lord, just what an amazing time of just praising your name through song. Lord, may we never get weary of the truth that you are in the fire with us. And Lord, if you are in the fire with us and we are yours and you are ours, as you proclaim in the Gospels, that anyone who trusts in Christ will be saved. In Romans 8, you say that we are your sons and daughters. We've been given the Spirit, that we know we have a love that will never be taken away. The love of Christ will always be Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You seal us into the day of redemption, Ephesians 1. And so, Lord, if those things are true from your word, then what have we to fear? And we have no fear because perfect love casts out all fear. And so, Lord, I pray that as we remind ourselves today of what's going on in the world around us and in the church and in the lives of brothers and sisters, I pray that we would not merely think of it as something distant, something outside of us, but it would be something that we would pray for as though it really was literally our brother or our sister. If it was our family member that was in prison, if it was our family member that was being tortured, if it was our family member that lost everything they had, all of their property and rights because they're a follower of Christ, if it was our family member, how this morning for us, we ask all of this and always to the glory of the name of Christ. Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as our personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'd come to know you before they leave this place. There is only one hope. There is only one name that will grant eternal life, and it's the name of Christ. And so, Father, again, may you be glorified in all of this. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So here we see in Hebrews 13, verse 3, a call to the body of Christ to remember them that are in bonds, chains, as bound or chained with them. And so here we remember those that are in chains for Christ as though we ourselves are in the cell next to him. We're bound and chained for the things of Christ. If it was them that was being tortured, it's us being tortured. That's what the author of Hebrews is communicating here, that that's how we should think about this. What if it was you sitting in that cell and being tortured and being beaten for your faith? That's how real it should be to us. Voice of the Martyrs has provided a short video for us that highlights the challenges faced by those advancing God's kingdom in hostile regions. Today's story is about the Martinez family who served in Colombia. And in Colombia, there are these areas called red zones that are controlled by various guerrilla groups. And each red zone has a different military group leader, and you have to kind of appease that individual leader. It's very, very dangerous and very, very violent. The film does not show anything that younger people can't see. It's nothing like that, but it tells a story that I hope will remind us and show us the risk that not only the Martinez family is taking, but so many others are taking just simply to advance the gospel. And so I want to watch this together again as we continue to remember those that are suffering for Christ and going through just difficult situations.
If you're late. Continue.
Have a good day.
Tell me you were a pastor.
I am.
Your wife, her name is Gloria. And your baby Samuel. You can... Marcus.
Marcus. Would you like to come in, Marcus? I can offer you some coffee.
You talk to me. I know you also talk to my rivals. How do I know where your loyalties lie?
We only serve the Lord.
If you want to keep that up, you will join with the other pastors in the area and work for me.
If they are on your payroll, they are no longer pastors.
That locates me and not some other guerrillas. They would shoot you in the head in front of your family. Consider my offer carefully. We'll be back tomorrow.
Father, please give us the strength to stand in every test. And may your salvation reach many through us here in the red zone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My mother was a Christian.
I have something for you. Hold on a minute. Give this to your man and take one for yourself.
You think you will make me a Christian by giving me a Bible?
I hope that you will listen to God.
I will listen when I lie wounded on the battlefield. Then I will listen.
Where are you going?
I'm sorry, where is Marcus?
You know Marcus?
Yes.
He's dead. How did you know him?
He was my friend.
Are you the pastor who gave him the Bibles? Can you bring more? Please.
So there's just a small sample of what many are going through all over the world in different nations, in different regions. Somewhere around 60 different countries and nations are countries or situations where it is very dangerous to be a follower of Christ, and especially to advance the gospel. It puts you on a lot of target lists. If you've ever looked through the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, you'll notice in certain countries they'll black out the face of the pastor or of the Christians, because if it got out that pastor was actually baptizing people or leading people to Christ, they would be arrested. Their homes are praying about today. And now in that case, what an amazing testimony of what God can do. And so I want to talk this morning, as we think about what we just saw, what can we learn from that story? What can we learn from that story? And then also, what can we do in response to what's going on all over the world? So the first thing we learn, I think, from that story specifically, is that the Word of God reveals our hearts and changes our minds. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. You're in Hebrews 13. Go back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 4. The power of God's word in that testimony is amazing to me. To see God work through his word in such a way. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And again, our message is going to be relatively simple today, but I pray it will resonate with you. And then during our time of invitation, we will just give you an opportunity to come and bend a knee and pray for those in difficult situations. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You see, in that situation, the best weapon of defense was the word of God. And when that gentleman came to the door with the appearance of threat, his response, the pastor's response was, I'm going to use the best weapon I have available to me that's going to do more than I could ever imagine, because this word, this Bible, will actually begin to divide us open and lay us bare. Verse 13 says, there is no creature that is not manifest. You cannot hide from the things of God, and especially God's word. It reveals us to the Lord, and it reveals us to ourselves. It opens us up. As a surgeon would open us up, it reveals all the inner parts of our hearts and minds. You see, the word will cut deep into us, making known the depths of our hearts. It reveals our wickedness, naturally speaking, and yet also draws our attention to the grace offered in Christ. It convicts our minds by the work of the Spirit. And when we turn and trust in Christ, the Spirit renews our thinking daily by the working of the word. It's an amazing, beautiful blessing that God has given us his word that does so much to reveal who we really are naturally and who we are called to be in Christ. The word of God is alive and active. When we engage it, it changes us. We could just read this book. Here's the truth. I could just stand and read the scripture with pretty funny jokes, but that doesn't even need to be there. Why? Because the word of God is powerful and active. And the word of God alone is able to convict by the work of the Spirit and draw people to Christ. I love in the story that his best solution, when that man was on the brink of talking about being maybe raised in a Christian home or around Christians, or his mother was a Christian, to give him the greatest resource, the word of God. Because it is the Bible that does the work. Even when you share Christ with someone, you're sharing your testimony, it is the word of God that you're referring them to, that you're quoting to them. For God so loved the world. And you're quoting these verses to them because that's where the power lies. Not in our ability to communicate those things, but in the word of God itself. Again, we could just read this book and it would be enough. Famously said that many times, great revivalist preachers like Jonathan Edwards would just read a chapter of the Bible. Would just read John 3. And at the end of that, would just bow in prayer and the altars would be full of people just rushing to Christ. Why? Because it's the word of God that is powerful. Martin Luther, the great reformer, and we celebrate the Reformation Day, where Martin Luther famously nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg in the 1500s, and he did that as an act of confession, an act of challenge to the things that were being taught that were contrary to the word of God, that you had to work your way or pay your way to forgiveness. Martin Luther says this about the word of God: the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. And the word of God is active. The leader of the guerrillas was broken by the word of God that he originally mocked. You see, the word of God is what reveals who we really are and who we can be in Christ. But also, the word of God contains the hope of the world. It contains the hope of the world. How do we know the gospel? How did you know the gospel? How do we know anything about God, his character, his attributes, his love? We see creation. We know that he's a creator. We know that he is powerful. But even in creation, the revelation is limited. And then the word of God was given through the voice of the prophets. And then we find Jesus Christ steps on the scene, and he is the Logos, the very word of God, God in the flesh. And he communicated who God is. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then by the moving of the Holy Spirit, those that wrote the rest of the New Testament revealed the truth of God's word and who Christ is and who God is and who we are in Christ. So how do we know who we are in Christ? How do we know God's calling on our life? How do we even know that we have eternal security, that we're actually saved into the day of redemption? Because of the word of God. It is the word of God that reveals the hope of the world. All of humanity longed for something more. All of humanity pray and hope that there's something that will truly satisfy. And we search for it in all kinds of ways. But in the word of God, we find out that there is a hope that is greater than any financial success, greater than any relationship, humanly speaking, greater than any achievement, accomplishment. That hope is found in Jesus Christ. We hope as a race, as a human race, that this world isn't all there really is. We hope that there's something more that will last for eternity. And that hope, that guarantee, is Christ. So when we talk about the word of God and what God's word is, it's not just a story of what has happened, but it's a proclamation of the hope for the world today. That he is still the same God today. Jesus is the same Savior. The Holy Spirit is still given to those that would believe. And Jesus is still rescuing any who would call upon his name. So we realize these truths. It's the word of God that, at the end of the video, did not ask for the missionary to fix anything. Did not ask for the missionary to do anything. All he said was, can you get more Bibles? I mean, that blows me away. That all they wanted was more of the word of God. Something you and I take for granted every single day. I mean, I'm not trying to point fingers, and we've all struggled with this. I struggle with this. You struggle with this. But so many of us will take this book home today and we'll set it down. We'll leave it in our vehicle. And we won't pick it up again until Sunday morning. And then we'll pick it up and say, okay, God, speak to me. And he will. Praise God, he will. Now, I'm not talking audibly. I'm talking about that moving of the Spirit where he begins to convict and lead, guide, and direct. But think about it this way. You can have that ongoing relationship every day. It doesn't have to be the printed Bible. Maybe it's in your phone and you do a devotion on your phone. There's so many great resources that your phone will just notify you, like, hey, you're going to read the Bible today? See, that's what I need an app to say. I don't need these kind apps that are like, hey, if you got time, you might want to consider reading the Bible. If you would consider it, that would be great. If you want to do it, I'm here. I need that that's like, hey, you ain't read the Bible today. You might want to read the Bible today. You're going to do it? Like, that's the app I need. I don't know if anyone else wants that app. I need that app. I need the app that's like, stop playing around, read the Bible. But so many of us, we have access to this amazing, beautiful revelation of God. And we let it lay aside. And there are countries, there are nations where this is not readily available. That for just carrying this around, you can go to prison. I had a friend in college, went to China on a missions trip for like 6 weeks. And his Bible, this is kind of a little bit before smartphones. Yeah, this was before smartphones. So he didn't have a Bible on his phone or anything. And his Bible had Holy Bible down the side, Holy Bible on the cover. First thing he did when he got to the country with the missionaries, they said, give me your Bible. And they all brought their Bibles in. He said, okay, handed them some tape. Start taping them up. And they're like, what are you talking about? Tape up my Bible? Yep, anything that says Holy Bible, Bible, anything, it's got to be taped and covered. It can't be visible. Because if they just see you carrying it, they can confiscate it and they could arrest you. In some of the regions and areas that they were in. Like, think about that for a moment. This is how this resource is treated, and yet so many times we just lay it aside. We don't engage with the word of God. Are we spending consistent time in God's word that reveals to us who we need to be, who we are in Christ, what we're called to be, And by the way, as we go through difficult seasons, it is the resource that reveals to us that he is with us and not forsaken us. Amen? And we read that in Hebrews as well. So again, it's an amazing resource of God's love and grace to us. It reveals who he is and what the hope we have in Christ looks like. So really, what can we do in response to what we've seen today, talked about today? Well, the first thing I want to encourage you to do is to pray. To pray. What are we praying for? For the gospel work in our lives and in theirs. So this morning, we're praying for the gospel work in our lives that God is doing through us and in their lives. Specifically, pray something maybe for your eyes to be open to daily opportunities. Where has God planted you? Where is your area of influence at work or at home or at school or community or whatever it is? Where is your area of influence that God has planted you that you can begin to see God work through you to share the gospel with those around you? We pray for our eyes to be open to daily opportunities. We pray for our missionaries specifically. The missions wall out here has resources and letters and information that you can be praying about. Praying for them specifically. Now, they may not be serving in restricted nations. They may not be serving in dangerous situations in the sense of where some missionaries serve. But I'm going to tell you, in some of the nations that we support, it is still dangerous to be a follower of Christ. It's still not easy to be a follower of Christ. It might be accepted in the country, but a lot of countries, even though it's accepted to preach Christianity, make it very difficult for you to do so. There's all kinds of difficulties that our missionaries face, and we could be praying for them, for their needs, their strength, and their support. Also, through the Voice of the Martyrs prayer guide. So we get these at the beginning of the year. This is the 2024 prayer guide. It's by month, and so obviously we're coming to the end of 2024. We've got, I don't know, probably about 12 or so, 13 left up front here if you'd like to grab one. But you can order these. You can get these. You can re-access these. We'll get more in 2025, so be looking for those. But I love this resource. It lists different nations all over the world. And it gives you specific things, what the designation of that nation is. Is it hostile? Is it friendly? Is it open to Christianity? If it is restricted, what are some overviews about that nation, the religions of that nation, the persecution the Christians face in that nation, and how it means or what it means to follow Christ in that nation? So great resource. So if you got one of these, maybe you've been reading through this last year. We talked about this at our Voice of the Martyrs kind of conference that we did back in the spring, late winter. But if you didn't get one, grab one. It's an amazing way to be praying for things going on all over the world. And again, you can access this through the website. So we pray through the prayer guide, which maybe will help us to understand how to pray effectively. Also, for the frontline workers in hostile areas, like the Martinez family. And I believe I saw something that said something to the effect that they began serving in Colombia in like 2006. And so I was trying to find more information about that specific family, but it's obviously a little difficult. But man, what an amazing testimony to be in that area, in that region, and to do that consistently and faithfully. Pray for those frontline workers. And we'll share more about specific things we can do for them in just a moment. But one thing is an encouragement, which I didn't know it was there. Somebody just approached me before service or during the greet time and said, "Hey, have you heard of this?" And I said, "No, I didn't know that was available." So if you go to any podcast, wherever you get your podcast, there's a podcast called VOM Radio. VOM Radio. And apparently this is a location where you can hear interviews by frontline workers and missionaries that are actually on the field and participating in sharing the gospel in these regions. And so VOM Radio, if you're interested in that, check it out wherever you get your podcast. I'm sure it's available, and I'm sure there's more information on their website. But that would be a great way to know how to pray effectively for Voice of the Martyrs and many others that are serving in difficult regions. But not just prayer. What else can we do in response to this? Well, I think we can give. I think we can give. And if the Lord lays on your heart to do so, I encourage you to consider it. We give both locally and globally. We give in the local church, which is what you do when we take an offering. That's giving towards the ministry here, but also globally to support missionaries and their specific needs. I've been so amazed over the years that when a missionary says, "Hey, our vehicle broke down. Hey, this is wrong. Or hey, we need this. Or hey, we don't have a washing machine." Like whatever it might be, I'm so thankful that we're part of a church. Just recently, one of our missionaries in Italy, because the public schools in Italy, they weren't comfortable with some things that were going on there. So they prayerfully considered and said, "We want to start this different schooling for our daughter, but honestly, we don't have the funds for it." And so they reached out to me and said, would you just pray about maybe being involved in that? And I told them, I said, listen, that's awesome. I love that. Don't ask another church for one dime. And he came back with, he was like, I don't think you know how much this costs. And I said, no, I'm very much aware of how much it costs. You told me what it costs. We're going to prayerfully consider supporting the entire amount. I went to our board. Hey, what do you guys think? I didn't even finish saying what it was. And they were like, yeah, of course we can do that. So we covered the tuition for their daughter for the next year. Just giving and being faithful. And that's what you give towards so many things like that. So we give locally and globally through the local church. But not only by giving through the local church, if you would like to partner with Voice of the Martyrs directly, you can actually give through their ministry as well. So I think it's up on the screen. Yep. So persecution.com, that's Voice of the Martyrs website. You can also get there by vom.org. But persecution.com and then /donate. So this is on the app. So if you're in the outline and you see the notes there, this is actually in the outline as well. And so this is a way for response from the local church to give towards different needs. There's three major needs that you can give towards. So there's three different areas if you would like or feel led to by the Lord, you can give towards. The first one is called persecution response. So what this is, when you go on that website on persecution.com/donate, there's three different options. Okay. First one's persecution response. This provides help for those who have suffered persecution themselves or for the families of Christians imprisoned or killed because of their witness. Such help will assist in the immediate aftermath of a persecution event or in meeting ongoing and long-term needs. Some examples would be living expenses, relocation within a nation if they can no longer stay where they are because it's too dangerous, legal assistance, vocational training, and children's educational needs. We talked about this last year. There was a story of a woman in a village that was literally burned to the ground by radical terrorists, and they literally lost everything. They had nothing. And so this is an example of what you could give towards to help relocate that family to a place where they would be safe and provided for. Another area that you can give, if the Lord would lead, was donating to their Bible for Every Believer ministry. Your help can ensure that every Christian in more than 60 nations, such as Cuba, North Korea, China, and Iraq, has his or her own copy of the Bible. So the gifts range from 5 Bibles for $50 to 200 Bibles for $2,000. So when you go on that part of the website, there's actually like a scale, and it'll tell you what dollar amount provides so many Bibles. Maybe you would consider doing that in the Bible for Every Believer. Lastly, they offer, it's called frontline worker support. So in addition to praying, you may choose to fund the world's most difficult and dangerous mission fields. It is also on this page that you can commit to pray for them, which is their number one request. So if you go to persecution.com/donate, there's going to be a thing that says frontline worker support. You click on that. There's actually a thing that says, I commit to pray for these workers. You can commit to do that, to journey to do that. And then also right on there, it will tell you when they're asked, hey, what can we do to really help you? How can we really help you guys on the front line? The number one request is prayer. Would you just pray for us? Commit to pray for us. Because see, I think so often, and we've said this before, we think prayer is the least we can do. It is the most that we can do. It is the most that we can do. It is the greatest thing we can do for somebody who's serving Christ. So whether it's persecution response, Bible for Every Believer, or frontline worker support, whatever it is, I would ask that you would consider being a part of supporting that ministry. But lastly, not only do we pray and we give, we share. We share the word with those around us. We share the word with those around us. Especially in our world today, people need to know there is hope. People need to know there is hope. And the truth is, hope is not found by what happens on November 5th. Hope is not found all of a sudden for the body of Christ because of November 5th. Hope is found in the unchanging, unending mercy and grace of our ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the hope. And so when you're living in your area of influence and you're watching people absolutely panic and run around, like my mom said, like a chicken with their head cut off, such a weird saying. I don't know why. Why do we say that? I've never seen it. So any farmers are like, that's exactly what they look like. Okay, great. I'm not a farmer. Good for you for farming. Love eggs, though. It's great. But as you see that happening, man, you know understanding. Speak into that hope and truth and peace. And say, man, I'm so thankful that my hope doesn't come from this side of heaven. It comes from that side. And so we share with the world around us. Why? Because the word tells us that it is Christ who died and rose again. And any who call upon his name will be saved. But when we share, that will bring persecution in this world. To varying degrees and at various times, it will bring persecution. But when the persecution comes, we rejoice. When we suffer with Christ, he is glorified. So I want to encourage you this morning that as we recognize that our brothers and sisters all over the world are being greatly persecuted for their faith, we pray for them and for the endurance to continue to stand for Christ. We also desire to learn from them in our own lives when persecution comes, that the gospel of Christ will shine through us as it shined through the Martinez family. I'm going to ask that you'd bow your heads right there where you are. We're going to have a time of invitation. And I really want to do this. I'm just going to pray as the band comes, and they're going to lead us in a song. But honestly, as you begin to pray there, I'm going to encourage you, if you feel led or able to, that if God's laying it on your heart, don't even sing one word of the song. Just come and pray. Bow your knee and say, Lord, I come today to lift up my brothers and sisters who are in chains, as though I am in chains with them. Father, would you work in these difficult fields and in all these situations, Lord, story upon story of people that have given their life for Christ, and yet, Lord, their testimony resonates through generations. So, Father, I pray that you would work, lead, and guide in this time of invitation, Lord. I pray that we would respond in prayer, that we'd pray for prayerfully considered giving, and Lord, we would share the word of God with those around us. Because it is the hope of Christ. It is, the word of God is what opens us up and reveals our natural state as a fallen, sinful man in desperate need of grace. And that same word reveals to us that any who call upon the name of the Lord can and will be saved. And so Lord, would you be glorified? Would you be honored in this time of prayer? As again, we seek your face and we pray for our brothers and sisters. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Again, if you don't know Christ, would you come to know him this morning? Receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. Repent of your sins and trust in him. But if you'd like to come and pray, would you come and pray for the persecuted church, for our brothers and sisters going through difficult seasons, life-threatening seasons? Let's unite in prayer for them. Would you come and pray?